welcome to the Carrier's Edge podcast. It's episode 94. I am Jane Jazz Rowie, co-founder of Carrier's Edge, and with me as always...
Mark Morrell, other co-founder of Carrier's Edge, and I feel like we're in a Old West duel here at high noon.
Oh, because of the way we're standing, facing each other. We've decided that it's better to be standing while we're doing this podcast than sitting, because our old bones have more energy when we're standing up. And now we're just standing here facing each other.
Yeah, well, also, it will keep us tight in terms of timing because we'll get to a point where we don't want to be standing anymore.
Exactly. That's where the old age helps.
Although before we had these horribly uncomfortable stools that served the same purpose of ending that podcast when you lost feeling in your butt after sitting there.
Yes, that too. I think standing up is better. So what are we going to talk about today?
Well,
what is on?
We have both been busy for the last few weeks.
We have.
And I guess we really have to start with where I was last week at MCE, the American Trucking Association's Management Conference and Exhibition.
And can I just say, congratulations on your first ever appearance in Transport Topics.
Yes.
You actually got a picture, an action shot, I believe.
Action shot in this week's Transport Topics magazine. Is it a magazine, newspaper?
It's a... know,
tabloid, whatever that thing is. It's a weird size, so it's an odd...
I think it's technically a magazine.
Yes.
The magazines were all that size when we first came into the industry, what, 20 years ago?
Oh, the driver magazines were, yes.
No, Truck News was big too.
Yeah, it was a driver magazine.
No, it wasn't.
And Highway Star was a driver magazine.
Truck News wasn't a driver magazine.
It was, because Motor Truck Fleet Executive was the management magazine. Today's Trucking was the management magazine. And then they had their giant tabloid-style newspaper for drivers. Highway Star and Truck News and Overdrive.
I thought Truck News was the management one.
Well, it all merged. They were the first ones to roll up, ending that magazine, the Fleet Executive magazine, and just sort of put it into Truck News. And then it became the place.
Fleet Executive was the management for Truck News?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
History lesson for all you youngins out there.
I was kind of unaware of it all at the time because that was like 2005.
I think they rolled that one up, I'm going to say like 2010, somewhere around there, 2012.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been.
And Highway Star has been gone for quite a while, too.
Yeah, Highway Star, I remember that one. And I remember that was a driver magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have a lot of stuff. They used to have driver stuff. Like there was a driver Highway Star of the Year.
Yep.
And that was at Truck World.
They did give that out at Truck World, yes.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the history books that we remember because we were newbies. Oh, it is so sad. We're not newbies anymore.
Yes, we are old. And that's what it takes to get into Transport Topics. Bringing it back to the subject.
Yes, 20 years of just hanging around.
That's not really the point, being in that magazine, but it was something that happened because I did an education session at MCE,
mm-hmm.
or MC&E. I don't think anybody has decided how we're supposed to say it. So it's both.
Management.
Conference and exhibition.
Yes. So it's MC&E.
Whatever you do, don't call it a convention.
Okay. All right. So what was the presentation that you were doing?
I did a presentation on, a big surprise, best fleets to drive for.
Oh.
I took the two-hour webinar that I had done back in April and squished that down into 20 minutes. Some things got cut, as you might imagine.
Spoiler.
Yes. And then filled the other 40 minutes talking to two of our best fleets, Phil Wilt from American Central Transport and Jim Guthrie from Prime. And it was a fantastic conversation. So it was a conversation about the program. And those sessions are always kind of weird because when you have fleets and you have it in that sort of environment, you can talk about some of the things that the fleets are doing, but it really, you have to talk about the program and how they use the program. And it ends up in a weird way being a little bit of a case study in how to use best fleets to make the company better.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than... what I would normally do in my typical speeches is, here's what we found this year, here's the trends, here's what people are trying, all of that kind of stuff. That was the first 20 minutes. And then sort of really quickly glossed over that and then went into what the fleets are doing with the data, how they go through the process, why they participate, So it ends up being a little bit of a plug for the program, but it's a lot more about how to collaborate as a group, how to use data points to learn about what's working, what's not working, how to figure out what to do about that, and how to continuously improve, how to take other people's ideas, bring them in, and continuously improve from there.
Sounds like it was a cool conversation.
It was good. It's always challenging with these things because you never know what you're going to get. And you go to an event like this, there's not a lot of other things on the schedule at the time, which is good because in theory, you should get a lot of attendance. But people know these are all sponsored sessions, so do they really want to go? And if they're not hearing from some really important person, do they want to make the effort to show up there at 8 o'clock in the morning? And for the vast majority of attendees, the answer is no, they don't. Now, it was definitely, it was a much smaller event this year than what we've seen in past years from that.
Which is not surprising.
Not surprising. But based on that, we had probably 100 or a little over 100 people in the room, which is actually a fantastic turnout for that.
Yeah, for those sessions, because I've been to them when it looks like there's might be 35 people in the room.
Yeah. But the media were there, so that's good. They got to write some good stories. I think we got about three or four stories.
Nice.
In the press out of it. We got listed as a sponsor, which is also really cool.
Well, we were a sponsor.
We were technically a sponsor, but I think it's so funny when our logo's up there on the same chart with Volvo and Daimler. And like, those guys are sponsors. We're not really.
So do you think that we should do the movie for next time? Because we're going to do it again.
That's a good question. As part of that, we get to play a movie, or we're able to play, I think, a 60-second movie at the beginning of it. And I would say no. I still don't want to, because we're standing on stage. You hit the space bar and start playing the movie, and you stand there on stage and everybody watches the movie. It's the most awkward thing. And the movie is like always these over-the-top sales pitches. And it's, well, I got to see all the other movies beforehand, before the event, because I saw the folder where they were getting posted, and they're all exactly the same. They all have the gritty, hard-working music. They've all got B-roll of trucks on the highway, and they all start with, "You're what keeps the economy moving." And then it moves into how vendor X helps you keep the economy moving, and then the triumphant music at the end, and the sun comes out at the end, and then the logo of the company. Every one of them.
Really?
Exactly the same. The only variation is it might be more of a Southern rock music, or might be a more of a modern country. It might be, well, it's never a classic rock, and it's certainly never techno or anything like that. But it's always the exact same kind of music.
Oh, that's so weird.
And it's all clearly music that came from a stock library, or music that they got out of a garage band that was, you know, 30-second clip.
Yeah.
It is uplifting, triumphant music. I think those are like the tags on those things. So if we were going to do it, we would want to do something completely different. And we might have a novel idea. You know, your creative team may be sitting around with nothing to do for a week. And we say, sure, do a movie, but probably not. That feels way too much like a sales pitch. And I'm never comfortable in a situation where there's anything resembling a sales pitch.
Well, it would be nice to do a video for Best Fleets.
Mm-hmm.
To have that sort of intro video that is what it's about and, you know, what we're doing, what our objectives are.
I think we could absolutely do that. And now that you've got me
thinking about it,
we will have...
This is just, everybody, this is a completely new idea that Mark has never heard before.
Yes. Well, we'll have B-roll from our conference, which don't say anything because we're going to talk about that later. Don't spin off into a new topic yet. We will have B-roll from that. We will have pictures that we can use. So we could definitely do a video that was more about that. That actually would make a bit more sense. I don't want to just do a plug for Carrier's Edge. Like, so so salesy.
We do like Carrier's Edge, but...
Yeah. But it's safety training. It's not exciting to talk about very much. In that environment...
Well, we have to talk about how it's uplifting.
Yeah, we have to make it uplifting.
And the sun is going to come out at the end.
You keep the economy moving. We keep your drivers moving. They don't have to come into class.
Although it's funny how I end up talking about, you know, you can do something other than online.
Yes.
And like, because everybody's always talking about, you know, oh yeah, we got to do online. You got to do online. But no, there's... Online is one of the options. It's not the only option.
Yes.
You can't just pick one.
Yes. It may be the whole wheat toast, but it's not the balanced breakfast.
Right. We need a balanced breakfast of learning And it's not just online. It's not monthly online assignments. It's, you know, what do your drivers need to know and how are you going to teach them?
Well, and on that subject, we did have a number of conversations with people outside of our education session. We had a number of conversations with people at the booth and in the halls about how things are working. And it's always good to go to an event like that to talk to customers and partners. And you get a much different picture of what's happening in the industry when you're at an event than you get
in your basement. Where we are now, by the way.
Or when you're on a Zoom call.
Yes. Right?
Even people that you know really well, when you get on Zoom, there's a formality to it. That's very different than in the hallways or at a coffee station or at a bar or whatever.
It's the two-dimensional, you know, it's the two-dimensional version of someone. And yeah, I can totally see that because when you see a person in three dimensions, there's a lot more to it. And it's not even about what they say or do, but it's more about body language and seeing their entire body.
That's part of it. Absolutely, that's part of it. What I find is equally important is the mental or subconscious perspective that we're out of the office. Like when we're on a Zoom, we're sitting in the office. But when we're at an event, we might be walking through the lobby of a hotel. We might be in the elevator together. You're definitely not in the office. You're out at something different. And that changes people's perspective on what they're going to talk about, what they're going to acknowledge or admit or share, and what they're going to say about anything, how they're going to share it.
Stuff you say.
Right. When somebody is standing at one of these bar tables trying to eat lunch that really was not designed to be eaten while you're standing up, you know, I think these events do those kind of walking lunch things to torture the attendees, to force them to have this bonding experience of trying to figure out how to eat this food together. Right? They give you these things that are messy and that definitely need a knife and a fork, and all you get is a paper plate. And you've got to try and figure out how to eat that without making a disgusting mess. And people often don't bother. They just go elsewhere. But those people who do stick around, you have a good bonding experience with them.
This is true, because you can always talk about how messy the food is.
Everybody's got sauce on their shirt or on their face afterwards.
Yep.
We're all in it together. But it was a good event. Definitely smaller, like I said. At the end of it, when they were trumpeting sort of how well it went and they're all happy with it, they'd said something about having more exhibitors than they've had since 2016. And I really do not see how that's the case, because I did a count of exhibit booths and it was definitely smaller than last year. And there's a lot of empty spaces.
Well, they said 2016. They didn't say...
No, they said the most we've had since 2016. And I looked at it because I went and counted up the exhibits, and I went back and looked at the floor plan from last year and counted up the exhibits, and there had to be like a third less this year. So it's very, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the way that things are going with the economy and things are smaller now, like people can't spend the money that they did.
Mm-hmm.
So there seems to be this really happy talk going on with especially associations about how great things are.
Yeah.
And
It's kind of like how associations all were going on about how things were so great through 2020 and 21. When we know that that can't possibly be the case, that these associations rely on these in-person events to do their fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
And when those things weren't happening, there's no way that they didn't see a revenue drop.
Oh, no, they absolutely did.
You know, they had to be fudging their numbers somehow.
But at the same time, are they going to come out and tell you how horrible things are? And, you know, support us, even though nobody's supporting us.
Yeah.
Nobody's coming to our events.
No, nobody will say that out loud, but you can tell from the way they approach different things. It's always sort of clear, you know, where the challenges are and when it's going well, when it's not going well. So it was a smaller event. And with the exception of one general session, all of them were fairly lightly attended, which is a shame because they were all excellent, really good sessions. The guy who heads up the International Road Union was there, always a great speaker, talking about trucking issues all around the world. And making the good observation, and he seems to take great enjoyment about people in North America griping about a two-hour delay crossing the border when he deals with Central Asia and Eastern Asia, where it might be a two-week delay.
Oh, great. That, like, real 2 weeks? I thought you said, like,
two days is not uncommon. Sometimes it's 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I wonder, I think it's because a lot of the other vendors, take the opportunity to kind of swoop the carriers away.
Well, I think there are not as many carriers. And the challenging thing about this event is that there are so many different classes of registration. So there's like the full registration where you can go to everything. And we get that for all of our people so they can go to the meals and the education sessions and make sure they get the full experience. Every exhibitor gets, I think, 5 passes. For every 10-foot booth, you can have like 5 passes that are exhibit only people. And all they can do is go into the exhibit, and they can't go to the education sessions. They can't go to like the banquets or anything like that. And then there's kind of partial registrations and where you can sort of upgrade some of it and you go to some things but not others. So it's really unclear how many people are actually eligible to go to all of these different events. I mean, I think realistically, anybody who is an exhibit only person could have come to the education sessions. There's no security at the door checking badges.
Oh, no? Really?
No. Or if there was, I sure didn't see him.
Interesting.
I didn't see any of that. I mean, they probably could have, or, you know, walked in as a partial registrant, but it's unclear how many people actually have full passes to go to the whole thing. So that may skew it a little bit. So even if they have, you know, I think they said 2,600 or something like that people, which is down a fair bit from what we used to see, where it would be well over 3,000, be certainly upwards of 3,500 people sometimes. And, you know, that's when there's a lot of vendors that are bringing a lot of people. And so you have less people there in general, but it's also, I think, people that are getting the lighter registration, so they're not going to everything. And that makes for some of these sessions being a lot emptier.
So we spend a fair bit of time analyzing conferences and
well,
events.
You can learn an awful lot about what's happening in the industry by the attendance at events, how elaborate the exhibits are, how elaborate the general sessions are, you know, how prominent the entertainment is. You can see a lot about their budgets.
How expensive food is.
Yeah. Yeah. What are they doing on that? You know, the reception here, they have the reception before the banquet and they were given drinks in plastic cups.
Whoa.
Which is like, ew. Here.
Why?
Out in hippie central where we live, everything's recycled. There's like hardly any plastic. There, I don't know. It was all plastic cups.
Were you outside?
No, it was inside. It wasn't around a pool or anything. It was, I don't think I've ever seen that. It was the little tiny ones too.
So, oh, that might have been it, is the getting small glasses instead of big glasses. So the reception, that's where you get all the drinks.
Yeah.
So you had like beer and wine in...
Well, beer was in cans, but I don't know if they were doing mixed drinks. I think they were doing those in the plastic cups too, but they were fairly small, like child-sized plastic cups. Yeah, it was very weird. Nothing says class like wine in a plastic cup.
Yeah. That is really weird.
So things are obviously...
That's really unusual.
Don't need to tell anybody listening to this podcast, but things have been tough in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely comes through in events and who's there, who's not there, and the people that are there, what they're doing instead. So it's really educational for us to kind of get a lay of the land, you know, see what's happening with the industry, because we're often a bit disconnected from it. So I love to get that feedback. But I get a lot out of that event every time I go. Every time we go to that thing, even this year where it was inconvenient with having to take connecting flights to get there, you know, I was not even at the airport on the way back. And I was like, yeah, we'll be back next year. And here's my list of things that I want to do, because it's always worth it. It's always a good time to go to that.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't think that there's ever been an event that we have gone to that we've kind of regretted. There have been events that have been not as... Like, they go up and down based on the economy and on what they're doing and that kind of thing. But I don't think that we are pretty choosy about our events, so...
Generally, if there's an event that we go to that we don't think is giving us good value or doesn't really work, we badger the organizers to change it.
Yeah, we do. Well, you do. You are the master of the comment card.
Yes.
You are going to give... If people ask you for feedback, you're giving it.
Oh, yeah.
It's happening.
Hey, I would want that feedback if I was doing it.
I know. It's just that you're very good at it. And I usually give you my feedback and then you channel it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I channel it through you. But it's always really good to see when people take that feedback.
Oh, yeah.
And actually make the changes. And that kind of segues nicely into what we're probably going to talk about.
Yes. Another event.
Because one of the first victims of your feedback was the Fleet Safety Council.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I think that was the first time that you gave a lot of detailed feedback.
Yep.
And to their credit, they listened to you. And I think it made the event better.
Yes. That event is really a good event now. As much as I am not a fan of the venue space, that's not secret. I've told them that every year that they've been there, that they need to get the hell out of that place. But the event itself is fantastic now. And yes, so this is coming up because this is where we're headed later this week,
mm-hmm.
back to Ontario for the Fleet Safety Council annual conference that we've now sponsored for years, I think.
We might be told how many years we've done it.
We first sponsored in 2006. And but for, I think, 2021, which was still virtual and there was really nothing to it, that was the only one that we didn't. But other than that, we've been there steadily every year.
So it's like 7 years.
From 2006?
Oh, wait, no.
It's a little more than that.
16.
17 years.
Oh, 17. Okay,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. We've done something for 17 years here. Oy.
But anyway, for anyone who's in listening outside Ontario, the Fleet Safety Council is a group within Ontario that has a number of different chapters, and they have meetings every month and talk about safety issues, et cetera. And they have a conference every year that we went to. I don't know why we went to it in the beginning, I guess because it was one of the events in Ontario.
Well, it was originally called the Council of Driver Trainers. And for us, we're like, well, yeah, that's where we need to be.
Really? It was called the Council of Driver Trainers?
And actually, the first time that we went there, I spoke at it.
Really?
That's how I think I found out about it, because they asked me to speak there. And I don't even remember what I talked about, but it was a bigger event and it was different. At the time, it was large enough that they had different streams of content happening simultaneously.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So I did a session. I think I had a half hour to talk about something, probably to talk about why people should use computers to train their drivers or something like that, you know.
Yeah, it was 2006.
And then we've been there ever since.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, that was, and I remember it used to be in all of these different places.
Yeah, they used to move it around and now it's kind of settled. It's always in one spot and that's not as good for the people at the outlying chapters, but they do tend to get more steady, higher presence there. So we look forward to it now every year. And I think it's not a huge event. It's maybe, I'm going to say 250 people or something like that. So it's a fairly small, intimate gathering, but there's so many customers and partners that are there. We always look forward to catching up with everybody.
And I haven't really seen anybody for a long time.
So it'll be good for
you.
Yeah,
so I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah, and man, that day and a half just goes by so fast.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a whirlwind week.
Yeah.
Because we have to tack on some, you know, seeing our kids at the end.
Oh, yeah, that.
Oh, yeah, and them.
Yes. But we have 6 people attending this year. This is how much we see the value of this event, is we've got 4 other staffers that are coming.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be fun, too. It's good for them to get immersed in that part of the industry a little bit differently, and good chance for us to hang out.
A lot of our staff end up cycling through the Fleet Safety Council.
Yeah, one way or another.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be an excellent event. And a shout out to TruckRight, who not only sponsoring a bunch of things, but are also one of the speakers there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I've seen Dirk do a speech before.
No, I'm interested in it as well.
Yeah. Should we sit in the front and heckle, or sit in the back and applaud?
And heckle. Sit in the back or the front and heckle?
No, we won't heckle him. We'll support him.
Yeah, he's also, well, TruckRight is also a Best Fleet sponsor, so let's give him a shout out for that.
Yes. And from that, I think we can pivot to talking about the other big event that I alluded to at the beginning. And I am pretty sure we hadn't announced everything in our last episode, but it is all out and public now that we are doing our education and awards conference starting. Well, the first one will be happening next April, April 8th and 9th, 2024.
Our first inaugural Best Fleets Education and Awards event.
Yes, I'm starting to get kind of, it's always a pendulum and I'm towards the excited side of it now. I will shift back to the
terrified.
Exactly the word that was in my head. Yes, anxious and losing sleep side of it. You know, I'll go back to that side of the pendulum. But right now, when I think about it, I'm in sort of the excited side of it, because it's going to give us a chance to go like dig deeper into that content and to cover stuff. Like I mentioned, having a 2-hour webinar that I condensed into 20 minutes, even that 2-hour webinar barely scratched the surface. Like the amount of time it took us to put together content for 2 hours, it probably didn't take us more than 4 or 5 hours to put it together. Like there's just so much information that you can just fill time with all the things that Fleets are doing. And to finally have that chance to get up on stage and actually talk about that and share that information for Fleets, I think it's going to be a really fun experience.
Yes, and we will have at least one special guest that we can't talk about yet.
We will be announcing a special guest speaker that I think is really going to contribute to it very nicely as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we're also, we've talked about this very briefly.
It's not the Rolling Stones, by the way.
No, even though the Stones are everywhere in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But no, our special guest is going to really be a good contribution, but we also are going to have other speakers internally. It's not just going to be the two of us trading barbs on stage for 4 hours.
Much as everybody just always loves that.
Yeah. But we'll have a good agenda of people talking about the things that they've observed, providing fleets a lot of good information about what they can be doing. So it's not just about, you know, the winning fleets show up and collect their trophy. It's going to be about, here's why they're winners. Here's what you can do to help your own fleet to become a part of it. Here's how you can learn from them. It's going to be a lot of really good information. So I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a great reception. We're doing it at the NASCAR Hall of Fame, which I love that idea. That was one that I thought of early on, and it was sort of, let's see, you'll see how it's going to go.
No, I think it's a great location.
But it's turned out to be fantastic as a
location. Not only are we doing it at the NASCAR Hall of Fame, but we have the entire NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we booked out the whole thing for the day.
Yeah, so it's ours.
So people can go and do their like winter photos right beside some of these well-known sort of retired vehicles of the greats, the people that are in that actual hall. You can have your group photo right beside them.
And apparently there are some activities that you can do.
Yeah, there's other things that you can do that we may do during the reception. You can have sort of a pit crew challenge and do some of these sort of team-based activities. But we'll see. We'll see if we want to do that. But it's going to be a...
It's going to be busy.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy and fun event. Our three sponsors are making it possible for us to have this event at very low cost for attendees, and also no exhibits and not flooded with other vendors. So the fleets that are there are not going to be getting swarmed by sales reps all the time. They can actually focus on the learning, talking to each other, and making the most of the time. Still a ton of work to do. But the pieces are coming together.
Yeah, very exciting.
Well, I'm at the point where I'm starting to look at like their AV guides and what their lighting opportunities are, or how their show options work. And I'm starting to think about how we want to light the stage and what we want for the giant screen that they have, how we're going to have that decorated. So that's going to be fun. I haven't put a big show on stage in years. That's going to be the best part for me. I won't be having any time to do any speeches. I'm just going to be doing like lighting design.
I'll take care of that.
Yeah. There we go. So we're going to have some fun.
Yes, absolutely.
So lots of events that are part of our schedule these days. And what else are we doing that isn't events? Oh, you're working on air brakes.
I am. I'm kind of working on air brakes. It's more about I'm going through the content that we have and sort of figuring out how we're going to put it in our system.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that other e-learning systems tend to do online, like how they structure it, is a little bit different than how we do it. I have a very fine sense of what order things should go in.
Well, there's several things here, and we'll step back a bit.
Oh, okay.
So our partner, the very excellent Rolf van der Zweig, who is the technical guru on so many different things about trekking, has got an air brake course that he's put together, and he's done it with CVSA. It's a course that's endorsed by CVSA, and they're now selling it. And we're going to be having that course in our library.
Mm-hmm.
But as you mentioned, other systems build e-learning different ways. So Rolf built it. I think he used iSpring Presenter to build
that. Yeah, I think iSpring is the one he likes.
Yeah, but that works for iSpring and it works for certain deployments, but we need things in a particular way to run through our system and to work through our mobile app and to be consistent with how we do things in our library. So what you've been working on is going through and sort of pulling out that content and seeing how are we going to do that translation to turn it into something that will work in our library that has the same content and still works the same way as what was originally designed.
Yeah, it's the same information.
Yeah.
One of the things that is kind of different is that there's words on the page that are different than words in audio, and we don't do that. So I want to keep those things the same. So it's kind of like, okay, what's on the page? What things are being highlighted? Okay, we can do it this way. We can move this here. We can do this. So it's not going to be a hugely different course. It's just going to be reorganized a little bit, which is kind of what I was saying, is that I organize things differently. than a lot of people do. I see things that can be moved. And for learning, it does tends to work. And I want to shorten it a little bit. It's really long.
Well, one of the other things that comes up when you go through that exercise, you put it into our templates and in our sort of model, then you start realizing, oh, there's places where there's images missing, or we need a different kind of diagram, you know, so that affects things
or
as well.
Or what is this?
Yeah.
That's one of the things, like, what is this picture showing me? I cannot see this. So that is, and basically, I know Rolf has all the images, and he can give them to me. But I'm basically doing a first pass and taking a look at what we've got and what things are being covered. So there's 12 modules, and I'm on module 10 right now.
Okay. That's a meaty course.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You do not know the half of it. The first four modules were super long, and because they're talking about how the air brake system works. And all of the different, like how the air, the supply air and the service brakes and the spring brakes and all of that stuff. So talking about how all those different systems work within the vehicle. And then he's kind of gone back to more simple things like the parts of the foundation brakes. So the regular, like what are these brake parts, like brake shoes, brake drums, like that kind of thing. So it's a lot shorter now. So the first few took me a while, but now it's kind of.
Okay. So the last batch are much shorter modules.
Yeah. I just finished inspections. So.
Okay.
Which wasn't like not a. Oh, that's interesting because part of an inspection is all of the air brake testing, but he already explained all the air brake testing in a different module. So I'm just making the connection. It's like, oh, okay. When we have our vehicle inspection course, we put all of those tests, so like air pressure tests and, you know, I can't remember what they're all called, but there's like five different tests that you do or six. And then he was talking about that all with regard to the air brake system.
Okay.
And making sure that that's operating properly. But in an inspection, you have to do that as well. So he's just put it in a different module. Nobody else needs to know this. That's just me. Sorry. Thinking out loud.
Course design.
Yeah, I'm having course design thoughts.
Okay. Well, that's cool. It's starting to come together then.
It's kind of all bulging, like, I don't know, churning around my head.
Yeah.
As it does. I feel like I'm doing nothing at the, you know, right? Like it feels like it's really quiet because it doesn't, not a lot happening when I do this, but I basically sleep for a while and then it kind of comes to me.
Well, and then you'll go and do some gardening or go and work out.
Yeah.
Or for a walk or, yeah. We see you like replanting, or repotting some plants and things like that. And then all of a sudden it just sort of comes out.
Yeah. Except for I have to be careful of what I do with my hands because I have a weird.
You have an injury.
I don't know if it's an injury. It's kind of like, but it making it so that using my fingers is a little less easy. So I have to be careful of it.
You have to find ways to process that subconsciously without using your hands.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So that'll be just sleeping.
Sleeping would be good. Watching TV.
Okay.
Playing solitaire.
There you go.
Yeah.
Playing games.
But that's what I've been up to.
Okay. I think that's going to be very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Another challenge that we have with this is that because we put these courses together and offer them in multiple different styles, you're going to have the full version of the course, which is what he's got here. You know, originally the 12 modules and yours will probably end up as 8 or something like that. That'll be sort of the full course, but you also want a bunch of different segments that are available standalone for refresher purposes. So we'll have to figure out that and how do these things get organized in a way that you can have standalone subsections that make sense and are valuable on their own as a refresher. You know, maybe there is one thing that is just on inspecting the brakes. I don't know what else there might be. There's another one that might be on, I don't know, connecting brake systems, connecting the glad hands or something. I don't know. I've only looked over your shoulder at like a couple of different bits
and while
of it.
You're telling me to leave my computer.
Yeah. And I obviously do not know how all of these things work, but there will be some logical grouping of the content that allows you to break out those refresher modules as well.
Yeah. Usually it's just by module. So whatever the module things are, like whatever those breaks are going to be. Themselves as well. It's and there's a little bit of bus information that I'm going to take out because I don't think that really, do we want it for buses too?
I don't know if it's required to be in there. It might be something where we have to.
Oh, we should find out.
Right. It's like the ELDT stuff where we had to have certain things that weren't really applicable, but
yeah, because they were bus stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that should be good.
I think so. Yeah. I think it'll be a nice addition to the library. That is for sure.
You just mentioned bus stuff. We were talking about ELDT and it reminded me of the other conversations that I had last week in Austin at MCE or MC and E.
Just choose one. They don't care.
MCE.
Yes.
But I feel like I'm skimping when I do that.
Yeah, just say MCE.
So there was a great conversation that I had with Mike Lasko from Boyle Transportation, who wanted to tell me that the dash cam integration that they've had working now for a little while is really working very well. And I was very happy to hear that because it was a pain, as many people listening here have heard us talk about over and over. The long grind of getting that running and getting it actually set up and people using it is really working out. So
that's great.
He said their speeding incidents are down 67% since putting that in. And I'm like, oh my God, that's a huge amount. That's fantastic. So that was really good to hear.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
We will certainly be putting that on the website.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's nice to see. Now, they're using it. I think they're using it in a very efficient way, and they're probably sort of figuring out the best way to do it that's going to work really well. But now we just need to get it to the point where it can be very simple to get set up for everybody else. That's a lot of the headache, is not actually building the system to pull that data in and connect it to what we're doing. The headache ends up being each customer, what they have to do to actually turn it on. Now, from our end, paste in a couple of account details and it's up and running. But on the camera vendor side, often they have to make a request for something. They have to get some IDs. Sometimes it has to be switched on by the camera vendor. Sometimes they try and charge for it, which I think is nuts. But you know, there's a few hurdles that we're working on with our camera partners to get those things smoothed out so that customers can get that enabled very quickly. But it's really nice to see that once it is up and running, that it really pays off.
That would be a good webinar.
Yeah. Well, we actually did a webinar. I think it was in May. We did a webinar with Netradyne talking about best practices with camera-based training. And that was with Adam Lang, who used to be at Halverlines and moved over to Netradyne. And he talked about his experience on the carrier side and then on the vendor side, how he recommends using dash cam footage for driver training. But I think we will get to a point where we have some other customers talking about how they use it and how it's worked out for them. And that's been really nice. He also mentioned that the hazmat training that they're doing, the ELDT hazmat training that they're doing through us, is working out very well, and it saved them a ton of money, is what
okay.
he said.
Okay, so if anybody is interested in that, then you can talk to Mike Lasko at Boyle Transportation.
Yeah, I looked, and we've got three or four customers that are doing the hazmat endorsement stuff through us, so that's working really well also. So I love getting out and talking to customers to find these things out, and even if customers have a gripe about something, I like that as well, because then I can at least know about it and do something about it.
Absolutely. You can't fix a problem that you don't know about.
Yeah. And last week at ATA, there was really not a lot of gripes. It was all just good
news.
Did you
just call it ATNA?
ATA.
I thought you said ATNA.
Oh God, I hope not.
I think you're getting like really on top of yourself with this.
ACAME.
I interrupted to make fun of you.
That's all right. I lost my train of thought.
Oh, shoot.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking to customers this week when we go to Fleet Safety Council, and I'm sure we'll hear the things that are going well, but I also look forward to hearing the things that can be improved, because they're really good at providing that feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I have been up to. You're busy with air brakes. Anything else exciting happening? Well, you've been on the radio quite a bit too.
Oh, I know. I have been on the radio. I have to find one of our customers to talk about some training stuff. Mark Willis just asked me if I could show up on November 1st and talk about training. So maybe I'll ask Mike Lasko.
We'll just put it out there on the podcast. Any customers that want to be part of the discussion on education on the Mark Willis show?
Let me know. Yeah, it's November 1st from 3 to 4 Eastern. Which is nice because it's not 6 in the morning, my time. What else is happening? Not a lot for me. It's kind of weird that I'm sort of waiting on some things to be finished and content so we can finish them. We can get them out.
Okay. So I can dump a bunch of marketing creative on you then.
Yeah, it is kind of that time.
Whoa.
I know. You get so excited.
I got a list. I got things that I've been parking just sort of waiting because I don't want to be making too many requests.
Well, everybody's busy.
Yeah.
But I just don't have to. Me personally, so I could probably do it.
Well, we got a lot of content still to put on our website. Even though we've just been dumping content on that website endlessly for months, you know, we've started putting Rick's travel blogs on there, which are turning out very nicely. Now that he's getting to more shows and writing his little travel blog afterwards, it's fantastic. But we also have a mountain of these five tip stories that go based on different courses. So for lots of our courses, we'll have, you know, a distracted driving course, but then we'll also have five tips to help with distracted driving, five tips to help with fuel efficiency. Like, they're not all five tips. Some are probably four or six or whatever, but basic BuzzFeed style things that are great for SEO, but they're also really useful as sort of a short story that gets you thinking about different things and can be really helpful that way. So we've got like a dozen of them, and we just need some graphics to go with that. And I have some ideas, so I will badger you afterwards.
Yeah, I can probably do that in my sleep.
Oh, yeah. It'll be inside of an hour. You'll be done.
Yeah, it's not going to be an issue.
Okay.
Well, then maybe we should get to it.
Okay. Well, I think this is going to give us a cue to wrap this thing up. And yes, my old legs are starting to tell me that it's time to stop standing. And we should get back to work.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Have a good day.